Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with J.R. Mountain this Thursday about supper time, the 11th of October, 73. His first visit came to look at the kerosene heater. Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right, and beginning the visit with J.R. this Thursday late about 11th of October, 73. Channel 2 Right, and beginning a visit with J.R. this Thursday late, the 11th of October, 73.
Alan Collins. Yeah, it's a good thing you got in out of the rain. Whew! Golly, I didn't see that coming up. Well, might as well sit down and let it get over.
Where's he at?
I'll call him.
Oh, you got him for a little place?
Yeah.
That's all I got to do.
Oh.
You got the main thing right there.
What's that, Jim?
That's main right there. The gas heater?
Is that better than anything?
Well, sure is. The only thing got bigger. Where's he want the other heat going? Hello, Farmer.
Hi.
Where'd you want the other heat to go to?
Huh?
Where all did you want the heat to go?
In here and in there.
In there? Well, the only thing you got to do is...
Same room as that.
Cut your hole right up down the top of the ceiling and put your small fan in there.
Say, you know I haven't thought of that.
Cut your hole up there just about that big around and get one of them little bitty... $3.98 fan, and just put your shelf on this side.
Well,
go it right on in there.
I've been doing it the hard way.
How'd that open the door?
Yes, and blow it from down here.
Well, the thing about it is, all your heat's up here.
Yes, I've been blowing.
All your heat's up there, and if you cut your hole in there and put your fan up there on a little shelf, and blow it in there.
Yeah.
But guess how much heat you want in there.
Yeah.
And say, for instance, you don't want no heat in there. Well, you can always put your get you a round piece of plywood and put it on an arm and have it where you can pull the string just like you're pulling a light cord.
Sure.
And you can pull it up and that'll cut it off and hang it on the side of the door or something like that.
I love it then.
You can cut it off. You can always cut your fan off anytime you want to.
Yeah.
But put the fan up there where it'd be stationary, it won't fall off.
Well, no use standing here in the dark, is it? I don't know why. You know, some people just don't use a head. It's just like they didn't have much of a head, ain't it? You see that around where you go?
I see that a lot of times.
You don't see it like you do out here. I'm clear.
But now, it may not be nothing wrong with your heater. In other words, you take all the heat up here.
Yeah.
If you've been blowing it from here, that's a long way to try to blow it through that door. Instead of it going through the door, it'd be going somewhere else.
Can you see in there? Are you going a little smaller?
No. I think about getting back up, that's got to get down.
Yeah, that's my trouble.
Nope. Keep the baffles in it.
Getting too much kerosene is one thing, and then all the parts of it, that hole where the kerosene comes in might be stopped up. Did you say it's getting too much or not enough? Getting too much. Yeah. Yeah, it just pours.
More likely that hole where the kerosene comes in at is stopped up. So that can make a heater burn more kerosene than it ought to. It's not getting enough. Or not getting too much. Getting too much goes smoking.
Yeah. The smoke comes out.
Well, sure it does.
It ain't supposed to.
No, it ain't.
Well, you can stand out there and just look at the smoke.
You got a big tank on them. And you can take, we put you about a 5-pound box of Tide washing powders in it. And what much you got in that heater, I guarantee you, after you burn it 24 hours, it won't have a drop in it. And it won't hurt the heater either.
Well, let me get to see. She can kind of help me on some of these things there. Bang!
What you in the radio business?
What's that?
See, you got two speakers up there.
I use these little speakers here in the counter, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this old counter set here, but it sounds better through that than it does through this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you've got a good set.
I ain't got no good set. I got one out there in my truck, tape affair thing.
Yeah.
You poke it in there and you got two speakers. Got one over here and one over here.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to both of them, well, you turn both of them on. You don't listen to just one, just listen to one. It'll give you all you want to hear.
Sure.
Out of one. But there's two come with the machine.
Yeah.
So my son-in-law, he put one on this side and one over here in the truck. And there wasn't much rain, was it?
No,
but it sure showed look like he's coming down.
Yeah.
Now I try and tell him.
You see what he says?
If you get a 5-pound box of Tide washing powder and put it in that tank, right, John? How much kerosene you got in it now?
100 and no, I don't, not much now.
Well,
yeah.
In other words, you pour it in that tank and just pour it right in that hole down where you put the kerosene in that. I say a 2.5-pound box of Tide washing powder. One of them big ones. Just pour it right in that tank.
Yeah.
And whenever you put kerosene in it, It'll stir it up. In other words, it'll melt it. That kerosene will melt that Tide washing powder. And it'll come right on in here and get in that heater right there and clean that heater just as clean as a whistle. It won't hurt a thing in the world.
Well, I never heard of anything like that.
Well, a lot of people don't know that. When I was in the heater business, if I went and told everybody that, well, I never would have got clean no heater.
That's true.
But I don't do that no more.
Yeah.
I quit it. In other words, I have to. Every time I get down on the floor or anything, I got to get something to get up on. I had to bring my weight up on this chair before I could ever get up.
What matter?
I don't know. I'm just down my legs.
Are your legs?
Yeah, my legs, both my knees.
Oh, I'd rather be down my legs than in my back.
I ain't down my back. Because anytime I get down, I got to get a hold of something with my hand and pull up. But I don't know when I'll get up.
How long has that been, Jim?
Been about 5 years, something that like
much?
That. Yeah. Where are your ashtray at? I know you don't
just
smoke.
Just put it on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
You
go
the
top
right
here.
Yeah. I'd say that rodding that heater out back behind, which I can do that, and just that carburetor, I can do that too. And whenever winter time gets in, you go ahead and put the Tide washing powder in the tank. How much kerosene do you think's in there now?
I don't know. Maybe 50 gallons.
Well, 50 gallons. In other words, it'll melt. It'll get in here by degrees.
Yeah.
And whenever you see, you open that door right there and you see white specks in there on that, in and around that heater, you know it. That soot disappears. And first thing you know, that door will be just as clean
as
you ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
And, but now, that hole, it's got the parts and everything in there, and it's got the heating baffle in there. Is that the one you paid $7.50 for?
Yeah.
Well, you done good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that heater. That heater just as good as a brand new one. But it's getting too much gas in. And another thing, cut your hole right up yonder.
Yeah.
And get you one of them small electric fans. And put your switch, well, in other words, the cable come right down the side, and put your switch there where you can turn your fan off and on.
Now, let me tell you something.
And then,
I tried to tell them, but couldn't do it. See, when we was over there, Faye had been to the dentist, and she had that hurt.
Oh, yeah.
She senses that note came.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And her jaw was dead, and still mm-hmm. hadn't come through. And so she didn't hear hardly anything you said. You see, when I told him, Faye, when I walked up there, he was busy in there, and I didn't really want to, you know, just felt he got a little time on the side. He just don't want to spend it all talking to the neighbors. Well, I told him that I had gone around to three or four people last fall.
I know he had.
And I tried to find somebody who could give me a little something about these kerosene heaters.
That's right.
And he finished it for me. He says they can't tell you.
They can't tell you nothing. They can tell you the price of it.
If they look on the tag.
Why, sure. I can tell you how much that heater right there cost when it was new. It cost $144. And ain't a thing in the world wrong with it. Except the thing about it is, it's getting too much kerosene. More than likely, that hole in that pot where the kerosene comes in at is stopped up, which can be rotted out in hardly, I say, in 5 minutes' time. And say, for instance, the dry well in the carburetor may be full of kerosene. I can get that out before you can bat your eye good.
Yeah.
And what soot and everything's in there and in that pipe, that Tide washing powder, put it right on out top. Ain't nothing wrong with that flue.
How about that flue out there?
Well, that flue, that's good flue.
Oh, is it?
That's terracotta pipe.
Yeah.
But I tell you what you ought to have on top of it up there.
What
on the very tip top. Of course, now that it's going, rain comes in there, rain and going down the ground.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, you may have a downdraft here somewhere. You know what a downdraft is? What you need is a cap on top of that flue.
Oh.
If it ain't nothing but a piece of tin, about that wide.
Yeah.
And just take it and go right up over it and come right back down.
Yeah.
And say that the bottom part of the tin on each side, just cut it to where that you can clamp it around the pipe.
Oh yeah.
Just clamp it around the pipe and keep it up there.
Yeah.
And let it be about that much above the flue hole up there, see?
Yeah.
Well, that'll keep the air, whenever, say, a downdraft comes along, instead of it coming on down the pipe, you ever hear it go boom, boom, like that? You ever hear the heater do that?
I believe we
have. You
hear
it pop or something like that? In other words, you hear it go just like that, or it'll go boom, boom, sound it just like it wants to shake. It wants to vibrate. Well, that's too much kerosene. But now that downdraft, say for instance that a downdraft comes along, which it will do it, in a bunch of trees and everything, but it still have a draft right on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this then. Here's where you can tell where you got a draft or not. Well, that's light up another cigarette, but I don't smoke, I don't inhale half of it no how, but
yeah.
I just got to have something in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to quit. But now, to find out if a heater has got a draft. I've always done it this way.
It's coming this way.
Well, it's got a, in other words, there's a downdraft out there right now.
Well, I'm down. Coming out this way.
It's coming out this way, but now it will go in there. As soon as you see that? See it going in there?
It's going in there.
Now, after a while, say since that air is trying to push it out the door, see that? And sometimes you can come in and it'll push it out the door.
Yeah.
But now, whenever that flue up there gets hot, it ain't gonna come in there unless there's a hard wind going on. But in other words, by putting that piece of tin up there, whenever the wind comes along, it'll have to go right on through it.
Yeah.
It can't come down it.
Yeah.
Put that up on top, keeps it from coming down in there.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
In other words, I can help you out on rodding it out and cleaning out the carburetor and adjusting the carburetor.
Yeah.
And in there, buddy, can't see how to adjust one. And I tell you something else. This draft regulator ain't got no business right over the heater. You see where it's at?
Yeah.
It should be either over here or over here. It's best for it to be over here, on that side.
Yeah.
Because, if say for instance that you're burning the heater, and this thing here opens up,
yeah.
All your heat from off your heater go right in there and right on out the flue.
Oh, wow.
See?
Of all things.
Everybody don't know that.
And there we got it right square dab on,
right
the,
dab
on top
on
of
the
heater.
Yeah.
Now isn't that something?
But talking about that hole up there, you can just cut you a round hole and get you one of them little old cheap fans and put it up there. And it'll stay up there. In other words, it'll run there until it wags it clean out.
Yeah.
And then you can take your, say, for instance, you might can take your one of these here, like one of them aluminum fans, right, John? And put it on a stick. You have to cut one side of it out where it won't bend it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put your nail on one side there and put that thing on there. Whenever you want to close up that hole, keep it and keep them going in yard. You can just close up and shut your fan off.
Yeah.
Why, sure.
There won't nothing go in there.
Yeah.
It'll all stay in. And if the heater is burning right on low fire and medium and high, you won't have no trouble with it. And most of the time, you can burn it on low.
Yeah.
On low?
Yeah.
On low fire.
Well, now, you know, people got that wrong idea about this place. They think it's hard to heat in the winter. The only time it's hard to heat is when there's a pretty strong wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to heat, J.R.,
mm-hmm.
as far as heating goes.
Yeah.
And well, now, you see, I keep the windows caulked.
Mm-hmm. But now you take any house, say one window. Say one window, have it down up yonder, just about that much. That will give it, that'll keep the oxygen in here. A certain amount of that heat'll go out that hole.
Yeah.
But a certain amount won't.
Yeah.
But I say about that much, not no more than that.
Just give it an inch up there?
Just about an inch.
You should all the time?
Just all the time, yeah.
And a little
if you just say, if you just had a duck over in one of them corners, the duck wasn't no bigger around than that.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is you had to put screen wire in it to keep anything from coming in.
Yeah.
And then that fan up yonder, you could heat this as hot as you wanted it.
Yeah.
And that fan will put that heat in yonder.
Yeah.
But whenever you say, if you open that door right there and try to blow it in there, you're blowing it in there all right. But the very minute it raises up, and go up on top of the house,
yeah.
All your heat's up there.
Oh,
ain't none of
there.
It down here.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
Now, that's why they're cutting down and lowering all these ceilings.
All these,
on these
people's
houses,
yeah. The ceiling ain't
let me tell you, why couldn't they just get a little fan to circulate it? Can't you? How you gonna circulate it a little bit today?
There?
Yeah.
Well, you want to circulate it in here or in yonder?
So it won't go up.
Well, it won't go up?
Yeah.
You can't keep it from going up.
Well,
but you can take a fan and put it on the floor and blow it right straight up. Right straight up and it'll come down. You take an air conditioner.
Yeah.
You take an air conditioner. Whenever it first cranks up, where you think the cool air is? It ain't on the floor. It's up yonder. And it cools it off by degrees, and that's why it comes on down, and first thing you know, it gets on the floor.
Yeah.
That's the way with heat.
Huh.
Heat's up yonder first.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you another thing, is there a room over this and up here, upstairs?
No, there's an attic.
An attic?
Yeah.
I bet you go up there and you can't even stay in it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a rotten hot up there until you'd wonder why the house won't catch on fire.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Well,
if you had some kind of a way to reach up yonder and get that hot air from up there and put it in that room over there, you wouldn't have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Well,
but it's too much trouble.
Well, let me tell you, that's what I've been worrying about. You see all this energy shortage and everything like that?
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, go out there, and I just got the heat and the fuel all going out the chimney.
All going out the flue out there.
And I went out there, I went down to Ocala, and I went up to Gainesville, and I couldn't find anybody who would even talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. Now, you take... There is going to be a kerosene shortage. I believe it is. But now that Ward boy, that Meganovi, I'd advise you now is to get you 2 55-gallon drums. Don't let nobody know a thing in the world about them 2 55-gallon drums. Put them in your garage or in somewhere or another that they won't get no water in them. And have them to fill up them too. Because this thing of being a kerosene, it may be a problem this winter. It's just like gas right now. All right, I got a gas stove just like that that goes in the back porch.
Yeah.
Pushes out there in the garage. I'm cleaning it up, and I'm going to put it in the back porch. Back in there, I got to line everything out there. And I got 4 cylinders gas in my old garage out there, full tank. So whenever, and then I got 6 set by the house.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now what I'll do, we cook off of 2 of them. And we heat the house off of them other 4. And whenever any of them gives out, I call the man, he brings me 2 tanks. Anytime I want them. And, but them 4 cylinders out in that garage, it won't never leak out of there. If I have to have one, I know where I can go get it. But he's got a record of those 6 out there, but he ain't got no record of them 4.
How'd you manage that?
Well, that's where I worked him.
Oh, you work him?
I work him, but of course now they got a record of them 4 tanks, but they don't know where they at. They don't know whether I got them or who got them, but I got them. And I'm gonna keep them.
Yeah. I try
yeah,
to
all
get
4 them. Of them is full, and if I need one, say for instance that the winter gets a bad winter, and I ain't got no fuel to heat the house with, I just go out there and get 2 of them.
When one of these companies went out of business, they had you know, they had it up and down about that, and they went off and left the tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just took them out there at the shed. I didn't want them, but they're mm-hmm. still out there. And you know, I tried after that to get the man to fill them up and just let me have some extras out there, and he wouldn't fill them up.
Who? What gas company was it?
That was in Gainesville.
Power Facts?
Yeah.
Well, don't deal with them. Deal with Wilson Electric.
It was, yes, old, do funny, what's his name? Bender. James.
I don't know none of them.
James Bender.
In other words, Wilson Electric will bring you gas when you out, and if you ain't even got no money, they bring it right on.
You don't know the man?
Who?
James.
Who does he work for?
He works for Williston Electric.
Oh, with Williston?
Yeah. He's the fella that runs the truck.
Runs a little bitty fella.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James mm-hmm. Bender.
Yeah, I know him.
He's a nice fella, ain't he?
Yes, sir. He's all right.
Well, he's one of the few left.
Well, see, he knows I got them tanks of gas out in that garage.
Yeah.
He told me, he said, put them out there.
Yeah.
He says, if we run short and we can't get none, we'll just go out there and get 2 of them and use it, and then we'll bill you for it later.
But they can't use...
Well, that's the outlaw tank, I imagine.
They can't use tanks that's got other people's name on it.
No, sir. Uh-uh.
It's against the rule.
Against the law.
Against the law.
And you know it's against the law for you to haul in things again?
Yeah.
And get them filled?
Yeah.
Yes.
They won't fill them.
No, they ain't gonna fill them.
But
you can't do a thing in the world with them but just make you a hog trough out of it.
Well, I don't...
But let me tell you something. I wouldn't cut on one of them things for nothing in the world.
Is that right?
They're dangerous.
Is that right?
You mean just cutting on it?
Yes, sir. Cutting on it with anything. A hacksaw or a submarine torch or anything.
What'd it do?
Blow up.
Oh, really?
Sure it will. You can't get all that gas out of that thing.
Oh, you can't.
You can turn that valve on and just let it spew out there all day long. And you shut it off and go back out there the next day and they do the same thing.
Of all things.
You don't, that gas don't never get out.
You
just stick a match to it.
Yeah.
It'll blow your head right on off.
Yeah.
Woo! Well, I don't even want them out there.
They just don't pay to have them around.
Even around the house?
Well, it won't hurt nothing around the house.
Yonder.
You might take a notion, you might want to make a boat anchor out of it.
That wouldn't hurt.
It wouldn't hurt a thing in the world. You can take it out there and open up the valve and let it go down. You could still hold the boat where you wanted that.
Sure.
Hmm? I was thinking about it. I had 2 of those old type Power Facts tanks, and I was going to cut the top of them off. The man told me, he said, don't you put no hacksaw, no hammer and cold chisel, no nothing around them rotten things.
Well, how did you happen to find out ahead of time?
Well, I asked a man up there in Gale.
Oh, you asked
a welder. A fellow by the name of Lucy Blake.
Oh, I
asked him about
on the square.
They're right there by the, not very far from the courthouse square.
Yeah. Well,
he told me, don't you never put no hacksaw or no coal chisel or no acetylene torch to one of them things, it'll blow your head off.
Well, you just happened to ask the right man.
I know it.
Something most of them wouldn't know.
Wouldn't tell you. There's plenty of them won't tell you nothing.
Yeah.
But now that's the trouble with him, is that your draft regulator, it's in the wrong place. It's up there is all right, but it should be turned around, either facing that way or facing that yonder way. And what that draft regulator is for is to pull the coal out of the room and put it in the heater, and the heater puts it out.
Yeah.
And if that thing's closed all the time, it can't get no coal out.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
But most of the people in Gainesville, the only thing they want to do is sell you a heater.
That's it.
They ain't nobody selling no heaters to mount anything.
Is that right?
That heater business, this here cashing heater business, is just about the thing of the past.
Yeah. Well,
and you take parts, you can't hardly get no parts for them.
Well, they've all gone to the...
But now them two top baffle rings that's in there will be in there as long as there's a heater there. You can't burn them up.
Well, now... That machine of yours, you think,
That machine I got is too big because that heater right there don't like much of being as big as that one is. That in the mine is too big. That there's about a 41,500.
Yeah.
That's just about what that is. And mine's a 53.
Yeah.
And you take low fire. I don't believe you could stay in this room.
Well,
low fire.
That's what I was thinking about when you said how much.
Well, you see how big my house is?
Yeah.
And my house is concrete block,
yeah.
Cement floor.
Yeah.
And I heat that house on low fire with that heater.
The whole shebang.
Whole business. Every room in it.
Now what?
The bathroom.
Now what did you tell me? You started out one winter with 100 gallons of gasoline.
I started off with about, in other words, I had a 300-gallon tank, and it wasn't full. I say it had 200 gallons in it, and when winter was over with, that tank was just about half full. And you take that heater right there, if you get it right, and burning like it's supposed to, I say 55 gallons of kerosene last you 3 months.
Well, that's what I thought it ought to do.
Well, you can't do it with
and
it all your smoking and going out the flue.
Yeah.
The heating baffles is in it.
You think it's
and
good
I,
enough then?
Sure it is.
I'd go around asking people what about it and all like that. And all he wanted to do is put in a new heater.
Mm-hmm. Well, what good would that do?
Yeah. It's the same thing. Now that heater of yours, you said that bowl that bowl down there don't wear out.
Don't never wear out. That there don't either.
It's just permanent.
It's there from now on. In other words, that you don't burn that kerosene. That pot gets hot, and you burn the gas that's in there. You don't burn the kerosene. In other words, that kerosene gets hot. Then there's a smoke up there, a vapor comes off that kerosene.
Yeah.
That's what you burn.
Oh.
And
you don't burn the kerosene itself. You can burn diesel in that thing. You can put diesel fuel in it, burn it right on.
Huh.
And they ain't have much kerosene in there.
And it ain't supposed to be no more when it's on full blast. It ain't supposed to be over 3 tablespoons full in there. And it won't be. And it burning full blast.
Yeah.
You can look down in it, say for instance, you can open that door right quick and look down there in it and you won't see a bit.
Is that right?
That's right.
It's all in vapor.
It's in vapor. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
It's like a hot water heater. I got a hot water heater sitting in my bathroom right now, kerosene hot water heater. It's an 18-gallon duotherm. It's about that high.
Yeah.
It's been sitting there now 22 years. And I ain't cleaned it yet. Ain't nothing in it. Ain't no smut. Ain't nothing in it. In other words, the only thing about it that I clean out is a thing down there, just like that pot and that heater right there has got. It's got a plug back there. You take the plug out and take a something about like a cigarette too big. Say about half the size of that cigarette, a good heavy piece of wire.
Yeah.
You put it in there and jug it like that, and that knocks that carbon out of the way. And during a heating season, if you'll rod that thing out about two times, say for instance you burn it for say a month or two, about 2 months, then rot it out. Then burn it about two more months, rot it out again. And then it gets the kerosene like it's supposed to. That hole back there stops up. See that kerosene continuously coming out that hole, and there's a fire there, see it all the time. And that fire makes soot and makes carbon.
Oh yeah,
of all things.
You can't help getting a little of it.
You got to get a little bit of it.
Yeah.
But you take that heater I got in that garage out there as a self lighter. You don't throw toilet paper in it. The best thing to bite one of them is with toilet paper.
Yeah.
And when you bite it, you turn your dial wide open for 1/2 a minute, back down to low. And that, in other words, that carburetor right there got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it does.
Yeah, right.
And you turn it wide open.
Yeah.
Well, 9 on it. Nope, got 6 on it. In other words, you turn your dial wide open for 1/2 a minute. And back down to 1 and light it.
Yeah.
Leave it on 1 for 10 or 15 minutes till your burner gets hot.
Uh-huh.
And then you need your heat, turn it up. Now if it's burning perfect on 1, leave it there. But if it ain't, say for instance it's a little chilly in here and you want a little bit hotter, well just turn it up to 2. Don't never turn it from 2 to 6. That'll flood it out.
Oh.
Turn it from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Wait about 5 minutes and turn it from 2 to 3, just like that, all the way up. It'll never set it up.
I never thought of that. Sure enough.
Now that self lighter that I got there in the garage, you don't even open the door on it. It's got a glass door in the front, and you just go back there and turn the dial wide open for 1 minute, because it's a bigger heater than this. Then you turn it back down to 2, and first thing you know, you hear something go. Just like that. It's lit. Lights right up by its own self. It's got a self-lighter and everything down there.
Yeah.
And I got 2-3 self-lighters to go with the thing.
Yeah.
In other words, the heater's about, I say, 25 years old. And it's just as good as a brand new one. It's got an automatic blower on it. It's got an automatic blower on it, and that blower has always worked. And I know where heaters is that just exactly like it, it's burnt slam up. That's from not putting it in like it ought to be put in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the heating baffle, it's just like the heating baffle in that heater right there. It's made out of zinc. You can't hammer on it. A lot of people clean a heater. You hear them in their heater, bam, 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 or hitting on this and that and the other. That ain't worth 2 cents. You got to clean that heater there with a paintbrush. You can't clean it with a commode brush, because you can't get it between the outside of the heater and the inside of the heater. It's about that much room in there. And you take a paintbrush, get up there and go around it and get that smut out of it. But That heater there ain't stopped us. It just got a little bit in. A little bit to what some of them I've seen.
Yeah.
College Share House used to have a heater just like that, and I think that's a Largo. But he didn't have no draft. And I told him so. I told him, I said, ain't one way you get that heater to work. You had to put galvanized pipe in the flue. Here's the fireplace. And you're going to have to put it all the way out the top of the house. All the way out the top and put a cap on it. Oh, can't do that. I said, well, it'll smut up from now on. And it did.
Huh.
It, every time he turned around, it hollering me to come around and clean it. And Carla, he didn't want to pay for it. I said, well, I'd throw him one night around there. I said, next time you have any more trouble with that heater, I said, you call somebody else.
Well, let me tell you, John, that's what I can't understand. Now, you call somebody in town, they give you a service charge, and then on top of that, they charge you by the hour when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why don't they do that in the country?
Yeah.
I mean, you're taking a man's time, ain't you?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't over here making a neighborly call. You
mm-hmm.
come over here to help me out on this.
I ain't gonna charge you nothing for what I'm saying.
There you ain't.
Well, sure you are.
Nah.
You,
I,
see, we never have known anything about
like
this.
Like I
here.
Told my wife, I said, don't mind helping out anybody. Don't care who it is. But now, a lot of them, you help them out, and they don't appreciate you.
I know it.
There's plenty of them.
I learned that from Willie Chitty several years ago. Willie come over here, and he says, I paid him, you know, and he always charged very little, and I always maybe doubled it.
Mm-hmm.
And it still wasn't much. And he used to say that. He says, you're the only one who pays me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what they want me to work in 1960 for the wages people paid 1950.
Mm-hmm. It's just like, I got a man, I just brought it home this afternoon. One of these big riding lawnmowers. One of these, it costs about $800 and something. All right? He paid a man $65 to fix that mower. He didn't fix it. In other words, the motor's got one speed, and that's all. And when he needs the speed, he ain't got it. But whenever he speeds it up, it smokes like nobody's business. And the man told me, the man that worked on it says, he's a prisoner. I told him, I said, well, whenever you care that your lawnmower to that prisoner there to get him to fix it, he's going to fix it just any kind of way he wants to. And the thing about it is, he put the rings in it. Instead of him putting the gap next to the camshaft to the pin where it can get some oil, he just put them in there any kind of way. And now the motor smokes. Well, I got two right now. I brought the thing home and seen it. I got to take that motor off of that frame, tear it all to pieces, and see just what did he put in it. I don't believe he even put no rings in it.
Yeah.
I doubt if he even took the motor apart.
Yeah.
But he had it off the frame, but now he can't keep the belts on it. So that right there shows you there's something that he's got messed up. And he said that the chain that pulls the thing keeps coming off. Well, how come it to come off? He had that off too. He had it all apart. And he don't know what he was doing. And I told him, I said, that man's going to mess that thing up for you. And he did. But he charged him $65,
yeah.
And the thing still ain't working.
Yeah.
And it says on it, says, pull back to start park. Well, you got to pull the thing back before you can ever crank it up. And the man even tore up his recoil starter trying to crank the rotten thing. And it's a big old 8-horse motor. Very big old motor, about that big round, about that high. And I ain't never had one of them off the frame, but I bet you I'd get it off of there in hardly no time. And I'd tear into it and just see what he did do to it. He had to do something to it to make it smoke. And it didn't smoke before that. Well, I guess I better go.
J.L., let me get one or two other things straight. Now, that heater of yours, you had that 20 years.
I've had it more than 20 years.
You used it in your house for a long time.
Well, the house, we've been living there in that house pretty close to 22 years.
Well, have you? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had it before that.
Yeah.
I had it when I lived in Gamble. I used it up there about 3 years.
Same heater.
Same blower. Same self-lighter and everything, but I got 3 lighters for it.
Oh, you got extra parts?
Yes, sir. I got some extra parts in case that them ever give me any trouble, see, that was in there. And when we first installed them heaters, the people wouldn't listen to you when you went to light it.
Yeah.
They turned the rotten thing on wide open and let it light up wide open. And then the first thing you know, it burnt that piece up down in the pot.
Yeah.
Oh, I see why.
And see, it's got a little cooter shell a fair thing done about that big round. Looks just like a gopher.
Yeah.
With his head sticking out. Well, that lighter sticks out the end of that little thing's round, and the lighter, just, you know, two wires go right through that thing and stick out on the other side, and you see them when they get red hot.
Yeah.
Which it ain't with one wire. And it's a big thing about like my little finger, and it goes right in that hole, and it sticks out on the other side, and you can see it when it gets red hot. And first thing I know, you'll see a column of smoke come from it.
Yeah.
And that's that vapor. And it'll do just like that, and light up and burn just as good as you ever seen. Now, you keep on burning.
Yeah.
And that lighter will stay on until that pot gets hot.
Yeah.
And first thing I know, you'll hear something go click. That went the switch, it turned off. That took the electricity off it right there. And then you go ahead and burn it all you want to. When you shut it off, say things, you shut it off right this minute, and it goes out in the next 5 minutes, and you take a notion you want to relight it, you turn that thing back on, you couldn't get it light back up to save your life. So that pot's completely cold.
Cold.
That thermostat, whenever the thermostat's about that big around, it sits right up next to the pot. And when that pot becomes plumb cold, and that thermostat, you can hear it. It'll go click, just like that. And then you can light it. But otherwise, you can't. You, it won't even a drop of kerosene or nothing come in there. Won't be nothing to come in there.
Now,
that keeps you from lighting a hot burner.
You said something about the heater over in the church. This hadn't been in the church.
No, sir, it sure ain't. They set my heaters that I put in that church out in the yard.
Oh.
Both, and one of them 75,000 duotherm heaters,
yeah,
had two brand new automatic blowers on them. And you know the fan that used to be up in the corner of the church, up next to the pulpit, way up in that corner?
Yeah.
They even pulled that down now. I don't know what they done with that. Had the thermostat and everything on it, way up there in the top of the church. You know, that made me so mad, I ain't been back over there since. Ain't seen no one back over there.
Now that's the heater that you installed over there.
Yes, sir. I give it to them.
You give it to them.
I give it to them and give them 165-gallon kerosene tank. And what they done with it, nobody knows. Yes, sir. And hooked it up. And all that copper tubing that went in that annex back behind,
yeah,
is over 400 feet of copper tubing. Went around that annex building to those gas heaters in there to heat that place up. I paid for it and put it in there and give it to them. And from the front end of that church, you know where the gas heater is in the front end of the church? They didn't think that 75,000 was doing enough. So John William Barr, I believe it was, gave them the heater. And they put it up there in the back, in the front of the church, just you go in the door on the left-hand side. And that's my half an inch copper tubing that went from there all the way to that big old tank out there by that oak tree. It was 160 feet of copper tubing, half an inch. It cost me 80 cents a foot.
No.
I give it to them. And you know what they done? Here not long ago when they put them gas heaters in there where that 75,000 duotherm was sitting, somebody went on to that church and took every bit of that half-inch gallon of copper tubing out of there and put 3/8 copper tubing in there. They took that. That was brand new tubing. Cost me 80 cents a foot.
My goodness.
Somebody else wanted it.
I don't know who done the job. I think Bullhammer's men done the job. Hooked up all them gas heaters. They ain't worth 2 cents in there.
Well, somebody gets an idea.
Except my 75,000 and them two automatic blowers out there in the yard and let it rain on it.
No.
Yeah, it's still out there.
Still out there?
Still out there. I don't care if it's that damn little rock. And I had a 53,000 duotherm. It was just about like the heater I had out there in the garage in that back room over in there.
Yeah.
And had it hooked up to this same line going over there. It comes from the 75,000. What they done. I think they sold that in Louis Drill for $25.
Oh, 53,000.
And Carmack Morris, I think he was there when they tore down that old parsonage. How long has that old parsonage been tore down?
Well, I hate to think. Don't see him any time. It's been several
years. Carmack Morris, I believe, was the one that told them that they should give me those heaters back. And I don't know whether it was Louise Graham or who it was made remarks. Says, no, we should sell them. And I told him, I said, well, sell them and get them out of the weather then. I said, didn't cost y'all a dime. And even that 165-gallon tank, it was bigger than that and that. It was bigger than that. That's about 110 gallons. Listen here, it was bigger than that and that.
Yeah.
And what become of that? I don't know. In other words, every year, I'd go over there and clean them heaters, what little bit of cleaning had to be done,
yeah.
And all the fans and everything, and I would fill that tank, slam full of kerosene, didn't cost them a thing. Didn't cost them nothing.
Well, somebody's going to have to do that for the fire department over Maganobe, or else they're never going to have a fire department anymore.
What going to do what?
They ain't going to pay for it. Somebody just going to have to just do that, just take care of that, like you took care of the heating in the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heated that church for about, close to 15 or 18 years.
Yeah.
And I kept that grass mowed over there. And I kept them flowers pruned and them trees pruned.
Yeah.
And, of course, when Mama died, well, I ain't pruned no more.
Oh,
and John
yeah.
William Barr come to me and says, J.R., I know you're the only one that's got the authority to cut those azaleas. We want to cut them down below them ones. I said, you let them grow till they grow completely over that church. Don't you cut a thing. And Carol Emerson went around there, and he whacked on a few of them. And I went over there and I said, Mr. Carol, what you doing? He said, well, we're going to cut these azaleas down even with the windows. People can't see out. I said, they ain't got no business seeing out. They need to be looking at the preacher. God, that's who they need to be looking at. And don't cut no more of them. I said, my mother put them flowers there. And I said, all them flowers around that new parsonage back there. I went right over there to Mama's house and dug them up in the yard and took my truck and loaded them on and carried them over and planted them. All them bushes around that church, the parsonage. And I even give them three or four of my wildflowers and put them over there. And you know what they done with them? Somebody stole that one of them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're wild azaleas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Somebody got them. I don't know who got them, but somebody sure got them. And they were about that high when I went over and dug them up.
Head high.
Yeah,
and they're beautiful,
high.
Too.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who he was. I didn't ask him who he was. It was that church out there on East University Avenue, this preacher. He's a young fellow. He says, you sure have got a good pastor there in Maganobe. I says, you mean the one that just left? Just left, and he first went to Tampa, and then he went down to, on down further down the state, Carmack Morris.
Yeah.
I said, you mean that man? That's the one you're talking about? No, I'm talking about Mr. Cook. I said, I don't call him no preacher. I said, now we've had two, three good preachers over there. And we had a congregation. We don't have that no more. I don't know what's the matter. I do know what's the matter, all right. But what can I do about it? I can't run that church. In other words, they don't want to. I like to barbecue. Don't mind it. It's just like I tell them, I say, y'all get the meat. Which you, I know a place, and I know a man right in Gainesville. I go to him and tell him, Mr. Robinson, I want about 40 pounds of hamburger. We're going to cook them and try to make a little money for the church. He'll tell a man, say, fix him up 40 pounds of hamburger. Don't charge him nothing for it.
Uh-oh.
See? We could take him around and barbecue the hamburgers and sell them for, say, 25 cents a piece. They don't want to do that. They don't want to have a chicken supper. They don't want to have they should have a tennis court or something out there for them kids to play on. They don't want nothing like that there. And that's that Howell bunch. You know just exactly who I'm talking about.
You know, I hate to say it, but I used to think they kept everything going over there. But the more I saw them, a few doubts entered my mind.
Mm-hmm. You know what the two daughters are doing now?
No.
I'm talking about Lorraine Howell.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
She's got a daughter.
Yeah.
Lorraine, what's her name?
I'm trying to think.
You know Phoebe.
Yeah.
Phoebe Howell.
Yeah.
All right, this other one is named,
I can't help you, I can't think of
I know who you. I know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She's tall.
Yeah.
All right, she's got a daughter. And both of them told their mamas and daddies the other day, says, if you don't let us get mad, we gonna get mad anyhow. Going off staying with men 2 and 3 weeks at a time. The little gal's 15 years old.
Oh, is that all?
15 years old. There was, both of them had went off here not long ago and come amiss.
Yeah.
And they'd been amiss for about 3 or 4 weeks. And first thing you know, these old boys turned them loose. And somebody saw them. And then the law picked them up.
Uh-oh.
Now they're in Carabelle. They're over in Carabelle.
I'm done.
Them two and another one. That they can't do a thing in the world with them.
I'm done. Louise Graham's had her share of that too, ain't she?
Hmm?
Louise Graham. She's had her share of that.
She's had her share of it, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, people ride through there and say, ain't this nice little village, town?
Yes, look at them rotten hippies. Look at that bunch we got uptown there.
Hey, you know who brought them in, don't you?
Yeah. Huh. That art building.
Yeah.
And they are watching that art building up there right now, just like it's a ball of fire.
Is that right?
That's the marijuana hangout. That's where you get your dope from.
Yeah.
And they tell me that they had a fellow by the name of Graham for gambling. He was a lawyer, but it wasn't the Graham that I knew. He was a professor out there at the university. They've had him up there in the tip top of that thing for 3 weeks, had him all doped up. He didn't even know where he was at. And somehow or another, the police got a hold of it. And the other night, they went up there and got him. He don't even know where he's been staying for the past 3 weeks, and he was in that one room. Take him up there and lock him up in there. Fill him up with that dope.
Yeah.
Right
you
there
see,
in your town.
Right there in Meganoka, yeah.
Yeah.
And you take that brother of mine. He's about the biggest dope fiend you ever seen in your life. I don't have nothing to do with him.
Well.
You take, he took my mother. She could walk uptown 6-7 times a day. And a woman 85 years old could walk that far, say 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 times a day, she ain't no business no rest home. I hold Buster responsible for that.
Yeah.
In other words, he knows that I'm holding him for it.
Hmm.
And I'm fixing to put him out of that home he's in, because it belongs to me. And that garage too. Now you take that garage right now, he's got the rotten doors and everything so full of that junk. You can't even get in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling's done fell down. He ain't spent a dime on that garage.
Mm-mm.
He ain't spent nothing.
And the rain runs through there?
Yes, sir. Rain runs through there and comes out top and runs right down in the, all over everything he's got.
Yeah.
In other words, when the property and everything was being divided, I give him my third in that garage. And that home he lives in. But I got something else he don't know a thing in the world about, and he's gonna find out sooner or later. But I got the lifetime lease on that place he lives in. He thinks he's got the deed to it, but he ain't got them, I got them. And in my name. They ain't in his name. And there's a lot, now you take the way that lot goes, that he lives there, all right? That, say for instance, that we're standing right here looking in the front end of it. Alright, you take from the corner of that brick building, comes over here, and then it stops.
Mm-hmm.
From there, over to here, it's a little, it's a vacant.
Yeah.
There's lots in here.
Yeah.
All right, it goes down here like this.
Next to that old building that tore down, didn't it?
That old Fontaine place.
Fontaine.
All right, there's still another little strip from there over here to the Fontaine place.
Oh, I see.
Well, that belongs to her own right there. All right, the property went this way. And then it cut across this way and went over to the alley. Like that, see?
Yeah.
And you know, this place right back here belongs to me. Now, Buster seems to think, now he listened to John Merle and he listened to May Merle, and they told him that from here over to here, where that old Fontaine building was, all this all the way back belongs to them. It does not belong to them. I know just exactly how that property runs. In other words, just like I say, from the corner of the brick building across to here, it goes down here, and then it goes over here, and down that way. And then back this way, the old tin building sits right in here. Now he's crazy enough to think that right in there belongs to May Herlong. Well, it don't. Because I tell you the reason why. Old man Herlong one day, he wanted to plant this here in the peas. So he come in with a fence from over here, and he come across here and come right up here like this. And he had all this here in here fenced in. But that fence had been there about 4 years, maybe five. I say 5 years, all right? Whenever you get anything fenced for 7 years, it belongs to you. And I went there and tore the fence down. I took my truck, and I pulled all this fence down. And that, of course, didn't have no piece going across him. But all this fence right in here, I tore it down.
Yes.
And you know what made old man Herlong so mad? He didn't know what in the world to do.
Yes.
And the only thing he had to do was just hold it 2 more years, that fence.
He knew it.
It had been his.
He knew it.
Yeah, he knew it.
He never made mistakes on land.
No, he didn't ever make no mistake. But now Buster thinks that right over there belongs to Herlong, which it don't. That corner up here in the front. This right here and comes down here and comes across here. That's what belongs to Herlong. Goes to that Fontaine building.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Buster ain't got no better sense than to think that I'm crazy. I know where the fence is.
Uh-huh.
Know just exactly where the corner is because I got a piece of pipe about that big around, drove in the ground out there where that corner is. And I told him, I'll show it to you.
You know, even when I come down here, Buster did the right smart work.
He don't do nothing no more. And if you take his boy the other day. Of course, I got to get gone because I got 2 feet long boys got tear down. But I'll tell you this here. I told that boy, I said, listen. I said, you're 17 years old. And I said, you're too young to go to the Army, but you're too lazy to go anywhere else. And I said, you ride that rotten old motorcycle up and down the road here all the time. I said, why don't you go out there to DOT and get you a job? I said, they'll start you off at $194 every 2 weeks. He says, Uncle J.R., will they do that? I said, sure they will. I said, I'll give you a good recommendation. Went out there and got him a job first thing. About there working, right? In other words, he went to work Monday. He's been working all this week.
You mean that Buster's boy?
Buster's boy. Ain't never had a job.
Ain't
his old
worth.
Daddy ain't warned him to have no job.
He ain't been worth shooting either, has he?
Ain't been worth a darn. And that old long hair.
Yeah.
Well, I told him today. I said, I'll tell you what you do. I'll think more of you, and I'll see that you keep this job. If you cut that rotten hair off.
Yeah.
If you don't cut it off, I'm going to see that you get fired. I got you that job.
Well.
And there's plenty of them with that old long hair. They think it's smart.
Yeah.
I know why they wear it.
Yeah.
Because if they're in a place where they ain't got no business, that long hair throws them off. Some people say,
oh,
well,
yeah.
That's a woman.
Oh,
how you know it's a woman?
Throw them off.
Sure, it throws them off.
Yes.
And there's a lot of this kind of dirt going on.
Yes.
That these old boys with this long hair is being put on women.
Yes.
And that some of them look just exactly like some of these women, you see.
Let me tell you, Dale, before you go, I want to, now you see, over there the other night, Faye, I that's been on my mind ever since. I thought all these little garden tractors, you see,
yeah,
was just, well, just something, what do you call them, a riding mower, where all they do would just be cut the grass, you see, just right under there, about 3 foot or 2.5. He got a mower over there that's more like a tractor. It's not a mower, it's a tractor. What is it?
A tractor.
Oh, it is.
It's David Bradley. And, just holding down the curse words and everything, it'll pull hell off the hinges.
Huh.
In other words, that's the poorest thing that I've ever got a hold to in my life. I wouldn't take. In other words, I didn't give it $100 for it. I wouldn't take $500 for it right now, and it won't even move. It something happened to the clutch, and of course I put a new clutch in it. But there's one certain part about that thing that's missing, and I've wrote to Steering Road Buck 3-4 times. They're the first one that had it. For a book on that thing, see? Or if I can get a book on it, I can find out just exactly what's missing. There's a bearing that belongs in that clutch somehow or another. Now, I found, when I tore it down, it was about 8 or 9, I think it was 11, little bitty ball bearings that was in that thing. It fell out. And I ain't never been able to find out where to go.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Steering Road Buck, and they tried to tell me, told me all the way around the world how to put the thing back together, and I don't believe nothing they said.
And they didn't have a book.
They didn't have no book.
You know, if they got a book, you can Xerox it these days.
Yes, sir. You can get your magnifying glass and sit down there and look at that thing and tell where that bearing goes. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a bearing that's missing. They are somewhere or another. Gotta be. Because your clutch ain't a thing in the world but an arm, and you push it forward, and it's supposed to move that pulley over to that other pulley, and that's what puts it in gear. And it's supposed to stay there when you put it there, and it don't stay there.
The
very minute you push it down, a rotten thing jumps back.
Yeah,
it wants to back up. You can back up all you want to.
Yeah.
Well, who cares anything about backing up? I want to go forward. And
That's not built like a one of these little ride mowers, say. It's got a transmission there.
Yeah, it's got a transmission about that big around, about that wide.
And look how long it is.
And it's about, I say it must be 8 or 9 feet long, or something like that. I say it's as good as long as that stove, you know, maybe a little bit longer.
Oh, it's way yonder.
It's a tremendous thing and heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I expect that rotten thing must weigh for close to 2,000 pounds. It don't look like it.
It don't look like it. It's solid.
It is solid.
Solid.
And, of course, my old motor was giving me a little trouble, and I fixed that. And now the clutch business is giving me trouble. And so I got Nola to write Steering Road Buck in Atlanta again and register the letter. We done wrote them twice now, and they ain't give us no information on nothing.
Yeah.
And so I told her, I said, well, I tell you what you do. You just write them again, get the same letter, and you got a carbon copy of it, and write them again, and register it. See, then they'll have to get it. And then we'll find out why they don't send a book to that thing. Because you know good and well they ain't throwed that book away.
How old is it?
That tractor was made in 1960.
Well, they ought to have books on that long.
Why, sure they ought to.
They denied
in the parts department at Sears about the parts on the thing. There's quite a few parts that I'd like to have. There's one thing there that you slow it down with. You take this shift lever and say, for instance, standing right straight up, a little ball of jack. You're going somewhere, it won't take long to get there. And you push it over to slow it down. Just keep right on pushing it. And after a while, when you get it laid down about like that, the thing just will creep along. Well, that piece is broke. And where in the world I'd find that piece, I don't know. I believe I can make it. Ain't a thing in the world, it looks like to me, but a piece of rod, and it's bent right around this piece of pipe and welded together. And it's got a high place on it and a low place on it. And I believe I can make the thing. have a man to make it for me. Let him see what's left of it, and let him make me that piece. But they just, I don't know what in the world they call themselves doing. They're trying to get me to let them have it as an antique. Well, it's antique, all right.
Who wants it?
You, huh? Sid Roebuck.
Oh, they do?
That thing's worth money. Huh. I ain't never seen one like it.
Maybe you heard tell of it.
I ain't never heard tell of or seen one like it until I got that. And I bought it from a fellow by the name of Martin. He gave $900 and something for it.
And it'll light out.
Yes, sir.
It don't walk like an old mule.
It's got two hand hold things on it. If you take a notion, say, for instance, you down here at the end of the row, and you take a notion to go back this way right quick, the only thing you got to do is pull that hand and hold back, and it'll turn right around and go right back, right directly back behind you. Before you can back your eye good. And it pulls that disc. I got a disc out there with disc on it by that big round. It'll pull it, and it's bogging up to the housing. And with the mower blades on it, too. And it mows a strip about 65 inches wide. I can mow my whole yard in 45 minutes. And it's about an acre and a half there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it'll pull. It won't rag up where you need it.
Yeah.
You can just pull it wide open.
You suppose they quit making them?
Yeah, they quit making it. I doubt if they've made it parts for it in so long, it's funny. But the thing about it is, they should have a book on it.
Yeah.
They should have some kind of picture of every part on it. They got the clutch. That's where I bought the clutch from. And I bought a bearing from them there for it. And they should have the rest of it. But, I bought two washers that went with it on that clutch business, and that still didn't remedy it. One of the washers was about that big around. It was a funnel shape on one side, and it was flat on the other. All right, you're supposed to put that in there first. And then these 11 little old balls go around it like that. And then it looks like to me that it should have been some kind of a cover to go over that to hold them balls in place. Because whenever you start to put this flywheel in there, the balls will jump out. And you can put grease on them and put them down in there and put them around where they belong. And you could put that pulley on there and first thing you know, out they come. And it shows on the pulley itself that them balls are supposed to be on this hub. There's a hub. And it's got a place on that hub that sunk down place. Look just like them balls come out there. And them balls, I don't believe them balls belong on that round piece. Looks like a funnel right here. I believe that funnel looking thing is part of that bag. Them balls blown way out here, and then that other thing goes in it, inside of it. You can't get it in there no way, shape, or form. The balls don't even fit it. They're too thick. Well, I guess I better go. Yep. I guess the wife's wondering where I'm at.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid we're held up.
You ain't got no, Japanese
cinema,
Daddy.
Sure have.
Channel 2 right. Around 1600-1700 and the end of the visit with J.R. this Thursday, late, the 11th of October, 73. Channel 2 right, around 1600-1700, the end of the visit with J.R., his first visit. To see the stove, kerosene heater, this Thursday, late, about 11th of October, 73.